Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Hello, how are you? Welcome to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast, as you just heard me say, on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Coquitlam, Coast Salish, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse, here with you this morning to play some talk and a mix of music, a little bit of everything. As I usually do here on Thursday mornings, we are our sort of feature piece. There's two things, two bits of spoken word interview style programming that I'm going to play you this hour. One of them is a returning feature, gems from the CJSF CD archives. Not often that I find... You know, it's usually music, as one would expect on a compact disc. But I found a Two Live Crew Rarities compilation that includes a radio interview about sort of the formation of Two Live Crew and their influence in creating the Miami bass sound. You'll get more information about all that in the interview. But suffice to say, a very, very influential style of music, both for hip-hop but also dance music and pop music, really, to this day. So that's cool. We're also going to hear from a early Canadian rap metal band called Rag of Death, which is also super cool. And then, well, not and then, because I think we're going to start with a bit of spoken word audio, the first episode of a podcast produced over at CFUV, the UVic story by Cooley Ross. The show is called Something Else, and it is sort of an Indigenous futurist podcast. There's some sort of speculative fiction in there. There's some climate stuff. There's Indigenous sovereignty and just cool storytelling. So we'll get into that. I'll play you the first episode and let you know where you can find more, because I guarantee you are going to be intrigued and will want to listen to all of the episodes, which are currently out, as soon as you can. So we will get to all of that quite soon, but first we're going to start with a little bit of music. This is a track from a series of demos released by Gillian Lake, a local singer-songwriter, indie artist, who mixes velvet sounds and big feelings to transport you into her world of sweet sorrow in a way that will make you want to take your broken heart out dancing. Very cool description, equally cool sound, and very polished for some demo recordings. These came out 10 days ago. So we are going to hear Wet Hair, Waiting for Dark by Gillian Lake here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM.
You say stay there.
Wet Hair Waiting for Dark by Jillian Lake from the Addicts Demos here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Jesse, and now, as I mentioned, I'm going to play you an episode of Something Else, which is a three-episode for now, narrated Indigenous Futurism series, created, written, voice-acted, soundscape produced, and edited by Cooley Ross. And it invites the listener to explore this other universe by following three Indigenous protagonists. It's super cool. You'll hear the episode itself and then a brief, I was going to say conversation, but it's just Cooley talking about the episode, sort of giving some creator's notes. So we are going to hear that now, and then I'll check in afterwards. So for now, enjoy the first episode, episode one of something else called the WS Complex. You can find the whole thing at cfuv.uvic.ca. I'll give you some more information about that afterwards. Enjoy.
You're listening to Something Else, an original podcast story created by me, Cooley. Audio adventures in Indigenous futurism. This is episode one, the WS Complex. Ayana's eyes open as they do every morning as she's surrounded by the sounds of nature and soft light. The morning prayer begins to speak.
It's time to greet the day, grandchild, ever unfolding flower. You carry the medicine of the moose and the power to evolve. You honor your grandmother's legacy and continue to seek justice in this world. She is proud of you. We are watching over you. Eternal bloom, Ayana.
Every time she hears this, she feels so at peace and so at home. She collects herself in a seat on the warm earthen floor, like she does every morning, and picks up her sage. Sage, for symbiont autonomic genetic examination, is just one of the many wonders of this place. It will analyze her health, as it does every day, to customize her herbs and medicine. Ayana brushes the smoke over her eyes, her chest, and her body. The smoke fills her lungs.
How old?
Who's your favorite Roombot?
You are. And you're my friend.
Ayana says as she pats Howl on the head.
Can you please add some of my grandma's hot sauce to the congee this morning? Please, Howl.
Howl scoots off. Howl, an AI whose job title is Roombot, just like all the technological advancements in this place, was designed by the brightest Indigenous programmers of our time. Her home of the past 5 years, a condo in the WS complex, was the heart of innovation. A place where scientific technology met with Indigenous technologies, reimagining the best of both worlds. If she had to pick her most favorite thing about her home, it would be the companionship she has found in Howl. Ayana steps to face Insight. Insight is a smart mirror with a library of tasks and knowledge, fully equipped with health and wellness programs from across the world. The mirror does a quick laser scan of her body, and Howl reappears to precisely place 4 thin needles in the highlighted points.
Ooh, I hardly even felt those ones. The thought of needles make me queebly. Breakfast. Smells like Dad. I miss him. I can't believe it's been 2 years since I've seen him. I've been so busy with school.
Ayana's tummy's growling.
How? Is it time to eat yet? Can I take these needles out?
An alarm sounds.
Oh, I have to get going.
Ayana quickly pulls up the needles and disposes of them. She rushes to her wardrobe and throws on whatever Insight had chosen for the day.
Oh, I love this song. It reminds me of dancing with Mom. I'll get to see them around the holidays. I can't wait.
Hal brings a nice hot bowl of congee into the room. It's filled with the colors of the rainbow, and it smells so delicious.
I think it's my best yet. Princess?
No, you don't. You know I don't like that name. And it's Prince. Ayana Harpy Prince.
The smell of the food captures her attention. And before you know it, she's scarfing and wolfing the food down.
Remember to chew your food. God, I'd say thank you to Howl. Thank you, Howl. It's so good.
Says Ayana, smiling as she licks off her fingers. The window catches her attention. It's definitely raining outside. It rains a lot where she lives. But the rain never really seems to get Ayana down.
Looks kind of glum. But it'll be sunny by noon, I bet. How? The best cure for a rainy morning is always my dad's cup of joe.
She goes into her kitchenette and she makes herself a coffee, just like her dad used to.
You're going to be late, Ayana.
She rushes out the door with her coffee in hand. And in the hallway, she almost bumps into Apache, the local neighborhood kid.
Hey, how's it going, little dude?
He doesn't hear or notice her. She jets down the escalator, which opens into the beautiful medicine garden. She makes sure to walk past the sweetgrass and takes a big sniff.
Oh, my shoelace is untied again.
So she sits to tie her lace. And as soon as she does, the sweetgrass begins to speak.
Good morning. I am the hair of our Mother Earth. Each strand connected both to this and the spiritual plane.
Finish. She interrupts the recording. Everything about this community is interactive, down to each blade of sweetgrass. Local elders and knowledge keepers worked with the programmers to ensure that their rich traditions live on. The garden is rife with story, including how the church reparations came to be.
I don't know why my grandparents are skeptical of this place. It's amazing. I've never felt alone here, not even once. It's beautiful here, and even the plants talk to you, just like in Kokum's old stories. I think it's the right step, in the right direction.
After the Benediction Act of 2037, passed into law due to a combination of public pressure, indigenous class actions, and the passing of the 2035 Papal Bull, Bellum Scelestis, all church-owned land or property was to be given back to Indigenous peoples as reparation. Her home, the WS Complex, and the first of its kind in being fully developed by Indigenous creators, used to be a church in downtown Tacuarano. Today, all former church property in the country was home to and a thriving epicenter of urban Indigenous excellence.
3 minutes. I've got this.
AM, just in time. She arrives at school, her home away from home, the Coates Polytechnic Institute. It is a bustling buzz, the hive of student life, located in the historic Kensington Market. At the top of her class, Ayana will complete her master's in microbiologic technologies by the year's end. She weaves her way through the crowd, careful not to spill, and arrives at her lab, coffee in hand.
Ooh, hot, hot. That isn't good for you, you know. You're late.
That's Rebecca, a senior student, her supervisor, and a real stickler for time. She doesn't really like Ayana, but Ayana doesn't mind.
Thank you, Rebecca.
She inhales the coffee deeply. And as she does, she is filled with memories of her dad. The lab is sterile white, full of beakers, Erlenmeyer flasks, and sharp corners. But unlike other biology labs, this lab develops mycosymbiotic technologies. And with brilliant minds like Ayana's leading the way, it too is a leader in its field. Global warming has had a devastating effect on the world's trees. With most forests now only a pile of ash, the team has been busy for months developing a micrograft meant to fireproof trees. And it looks like the test is just about to start.
It's time to start, everybody. Gather round. You need your coat and eyewear, Ayana.
Ayana smiles, quickly throwing them on as she jostles up next to her pal Frank. Frank's another Indigenous student. He's a bit older than Ayana, and next to Hal is her closest friend. He's always teasing Ayana and making her laugh.
On Indian time.
Rebecca shushes them. The first test is the control with a fire retardant GMO sapling. One of the students lights a flame placed at the sapling's trunk. And after several moments exposure to the flame, the whole tree ignites. Seeing the tree ablaze stirs up feelings for Ayana. Her elders always taught her that trees are our relatives.
Frank, can you begin the second test?
Frank and the team have been engineering this all season. This sapling has been grafted with a mycelium symbiote to protect itself from fire. Frank is nervous. He takes a big breath and lights a flame placed at the trunk of the sapling. To their astonishment, the sapling immediately begins to transform as its branches and leaves appear to retract into the trunk of the tree and are quickly replaced by a hard, almost plastic-appearing shell. The flame continues to burn until it burns out completely. The sapling is left standing, safe, and fire-free.
Yes!
Good job, everyone. That was sweet. My treat this time.
Ooh, can I have a sweetgrass iced tea, please?
Can I get 2 teas and a half dozen fry bread?
Order up.
The waitress places a fresh basket of pry bread on the counter. They're at their favorite cafe. It's been around forever. They love to come here together on their lunch breaks.
Are you sure you don't want one?
He offers her a piece of fry bread.
My cousin says that glyphosate allergies can be cured, you know. He says they just gotta engineer a pest-repelling Indian. But they won't, because then the whites would all buzz off too then.
They both laugh real hard. After lunch, they go back to work and finish their day. When 5 o'clock rolls around, Ayana flies back down Hoskin, zips back up to her floor, and walks into her condo. The aroma of clary sage, bergamot, and vanilla tobacco fill her lungs, instantly welcoming and comforting her. She loves her home. She just feels the day sliding off of her. Being here feels so safe. She feels so cared for. She can smell Hal finishing supper. Thank you, Howl. Green beans and mapo tofu are my favorite. She says as she sips her hot tea.
I'm really sleepy and really full. It's time for bed.
Bedtime is a ritual Ayana treasures. The earthen floor is always warm and soft and cozy. The floor itself is grounded deep into the earth, so that every night nature's electrons soothe, heal, and repair. She curls up with her fuzzy blanket, the smell of lavender enters the room, and soft venereal beats surround her. A projection of the desert sun illuminates her room as her eyes begin to close.
It's time to greet the day.
Good morning.
Ever unfolding flower.
The prayer gently fades away. The medicine. Today is the day. Ayana springs up and declares,
"How? I'm determined not to be late this morning."
Insight has already chosen several outfit options for her this morning. Ayana unlatches a wall and slides it down the room. It is filled with her clothing. She begins searching for the items. A dark forest green shirt and a tweed pencil skirt.
Found them. Record time.
She starts to dress, but decides on a skater skirt instead.
This one.
She finishes the whole look off with a braid and kisses Hal on the head and hurries along. She's going to be on time today. She rushes down the escalator and into the courtyard. This time, Apache's doing some tricks on his airboard.
Nice! Oh, I gotta go. I think I'm gonna make it this time.
But just as she grabs her bike, the courtyard auntie saunters over for a chat.
Ooh, I love your hair in a braid. You should wear it like that more often.
Thanks.
You know, my mom used to dress like that, you know. These styles always come back around, you know. Did you hear the news? They found another one just yesterday. A tech down in those old tunnels found it. Over out by the old fort, past the bay. You're studying something like that, eh?
Yeah.
My nephew's wife's uncle found one too. Years back now. I heard there's nothing like it. I had an early night. This is the first time hearing about it. Yeah. I study biology, Auntie, but this is out of our world, I think. It hasn't been identified in origin yet, even after all this time. Wild, hey?
But Trish doesn't hear her. She's distracted. There's a new neighbor just moved in.
Hi.
And she's already making her way towards her.
Yes, yes. Have a good day, my girl.
Ayana jumps on her bike. She's whizzing along, so proud of herself for making it on time. The second alarm sounds. 8:55 a.m. She arrives 5 minutes early to Frank's. Big smile at the door.
Holy, you must have said a prayer to the ancestors last night. Early even.
Just before they walk into the building to go inside, Rebecca stops them at the door.
Oh, now what? I'm early. We'll be taking the shuttle bus on field exercise today. It'll be here in 5 minutes.
Oh, where are we going?
There's been another event. Down an old waterway tunnel.
Trish told me the great unfolding was happening here this morning. Has there even been one in a city this big before? The Great Unfolding, an unexplained supernatural phenomenon, with localized events, or blooms, appearing all around the world. Till now, to Ayana, its existence had only been an urban legend, one she's heard stories about since she was a child. In truth, it kind of scares her a little. And so to distract herself, she decides to tease Frank.
I hear people disappear in it. Nice try, young'un. I can't believe we get to see one. They say it's a color you can't even describe.
The Great Unfolding is surrounded in mystery. People have been studying them for years, and they still don't really know anything about them. All they really know is the first one appeared in 2035, almost 20 years ago now. And its biological markers appeared to be out of this world.
I heard it looks like a space flower. Oh, I can't believe they're sending a bunch of students. Why are my palms sweating? This is everything I've wanted since I was a little girl. Am I nervous? Why am I nervous? All I really know is the stories that elders share in secret. And those stories make me uncomfortable.